Is it just me, or is it a little scary around here tonight?
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
No more blue Chicago nights. They're gonna make everything all right. Steve and Johnny, Johnny and Steve.
That's all I'll say this one.
Steve and Johnny, Johnny and Steve.
Good evening.
You know what happens when you talk like that?
What happens?
We can't talk about it on the radio. Welcome, everybody. You're blushing.
Everything I want to say would turn this place into a parking lot so quickly.
I can't believe it. You started blushing.
Because all the lines that I wanted to say were just...
And you were thinking, do I like doing the Saturday show, or should I say what I'm thinking?
Yeah, I was doing some very quick edits and wound up editing the whole thing.
Well, we are live. This is not Memorex. It's not even the quote-unquote best of. It's really us.
No, this is really us. And right off the... We want to thank John...
Herbach. Yes. John put together the Halloween version of our theme song tonight with all those wonderful drop-ins.
So you will hear that again next week.
Yes.
We're going to be doing some Halloween things tonight. In fact, we should mention, coming up a little later tonight, we're going, by lots of popular demand, we're going to be doing the Halloween poem that we have done on the radio for more years than we've been married.
Yep.
And next, not tonight, but next week, we will replay the last conversation we had with Richard Crow, Chicago's ghost hunter, and his telling of the tale of Resurrection Mary.
Right.
That's coming up next week. But we got some spooky stuff coming up tonight.
And Halloween's on a weeknight, so I think that a week from tonight, next Saturday night, will be the night that people are doing the parties. And so we're going to have a party, too.
Yeah.
And it will be a later start time, so Lord knows what shape we'll be in by the time the party starts.
Yeah. Speaking of Lord knows what shape, hi, Ron.
Oh, hi. But welcome back, guys.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
I think this will be a best of one of these days.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It has that kind of start already.
So as a kid, was Halloween a big deal around your house?
Oh, yeah, as a kid, sure, of course. Yeah. I mean, you look forward to that, and either buying the costume or creating your own costume and the candy. And I mean, I just always thought the neighborhoods were safe. We would go out certain age and never worried about anything about... You know, it was Halloween. Everybody was friendly. And
we thought the neighborhood was safe. This was 1967, Old Town Chicago. I was adorable as Raggedy Ann. I'm walking, except I had to wear glasses with my stupid Raggedy, well, my adorable Raggedy Ann outfit, but my stupid glasses. And I got a tap on my shoulder and turned around and boom, got socked right in the face and got my bag stolen from me. Yes.
No.
Yes.
I was just a kid.
Oh, no. If I had not been knocked down, I would have fought. I would have fought big time. And I'm not a fighter, but that was a big bag of candy stolen from me.
Can you imagine getting beat up by Raggedy Ann?
You could have just started shaking your head and beat him up with your pigtails.
No. My mother made me this really cool yarn wig, a red yarn wig. It was adorable. And, of course, I had all the makeup on, and she made me the apron, and I had the striped socks. And I looked like a walking, talking Raggedy Ann, except I was wearing my stupid glasses. I tried to go without my glasses, and then I realized... I don't know where the stairs are. I don't know where the doorbell is. I can't do this.
You'd be staggery, Ann.
That's right. So, and I'm old enough to remember when we used to go buy those plastic masks. Remember?
Yes.
Those hard plastic that had the string that ran around the back that would cut into your head if you had a big head.
And they were so hard to breathe through.
That's true. It's
impossible. Yeah. They had a little tiny hole like that was going to help.
A little tiny mouth
couldn't
hole.
Couldn't do anything with it, yeah.
And... way back in the day, and I was just a little tiny person, and we had first moved to Chicago. I'm ashamed to say this, but my first Halloween costume was a Chinese person. And I'm like, Mom, what? It was popular. It was a great little satin outfit with a pigtail down the back. And it's like, really? This is a Halloween?
Sounds like all of your costumes had this pigtail theme.
Well, no. Raggedy Ann was not. That was cute. I'll have to show you a picture of it. It was really cute. The picture before I got beat up.
Okay. <You know? laughs>
What was a favorite costume of yours, Ron?
Vampire was always a big favorite of mine, and I remember winning a doing it myself and winning a prize at some school thing, and I just thought that was great. So that's got to be a favorite.
Only time I won a prize, I was a baby. I was a very large baby because at 12, I looked like I was 17. And I was a baby.
This is starting to sound a little more kinky.
This is going to be a best of. This is going to be a best of.
What kind of Halloween parties did you have?
Well, anybody grew up in the Old Town neighborhood, they know the Menominee Club. Menominee Club was a group.
No!
Don't do that to me.
Ernie Kovacs.
No, you're thinking of the Nairobi Trio.
Yeah, that's not it.
No. I was doing was from Sesame Street. Mana, mana, ba, ba, or actually the Muppets. Mana, mana, ba, 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 da, da.
You mana, could stop mana, now.
Ba, 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 ba.
Please.
Mana, mana,
so
ba,
I was at the Menominee Club, and I got a $25 savings bond, which was big money then. This was so long ago. All right, Bob Fakuda's in here. Keeper of the big plug. Halloween costume?
Well, I was the fifth of five kids. I'd be lucky to get a Halloween costume.
Oh, no.
I felt more like Charlie Brown, like they throw a sheet over my head. And like, I'm a ghost. Yeah.
I'm a ghost.
Yeah.
I got a rock.
It was bad. Yeah.
Yes, I got a rock. At least I didn't get beaten in the face.
No, I never got beat up over my candy. I'll give you that.
And we talk about those are safer times, better times. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
See this scar? No. Yeah. Oh, God.
Michael, what about you? And we should introduce our producer du jour for tonight.
Yes. That would be sign in, Michael.
I was going to say, you have a lot of spooky things going on here tonight, Stephen Johnny, but the scariest thing is that you have a 22-year-old behind your board right now. So definitely not the scariest thing on paper, but.
Be afraid.
Definitely
be
pretty terrifying.
Afraid.
Michael, literally, we were stepping off the elevator, and I said, Steve, do you realize that our producer was. was in high school a couple years ago.
It feels like a century ago. I was just talking to my dad about that. I was a COVID senior, so...
Were you really?
Yeah, definitely an interesting experience at the end of my high school years, but got to college here. I'm going to school downtown here in DePaul, and it's been great. Been loving it, everything I'm doing here, and now I'm working here at WGN about 2 years, so...
Yeah. I just realized you weren't alive for half of our marriage.
I know. But he lived through COVID, so that's,
that's
pretty amazing. Yeah, yeah.
So Halloween costumes for you?
So one of my favorite memories of a Halloween costume, when I was just a baby, I had an older brother that was always the, you know, bigger older brother, and he got this mask that you couldn't see anything out of him. My mom goes, "You're going to hurt someone with that." Little does he know, he runs me over with his bike, and I have a an older, very Italian neighbor. And, you know, he's always very calm, collected. I've never heard that man scream so loud, so worried. He was like, "Oh, my God, this kid is dead." I was in a Woody costume from Toy Story. Ran over by a bike, and what are you going to do about that?
Oh, Woody costume is the best costume.
That was my favorite. Another one that was a huge favorite.
Did you have something written on the sole of your shoe?
I did.
Oh.
We wrote Andy on there, because I was a huge Toy Story kid when I was
sure.
a kid. But yeah, definitely one of the favorites.
I expected you to be like a Star Wars kid.
I was never a Star Wars kid very much. A lot of my friends were really into Star Wars. But I was more so of like the odd kind of outfits. I always like to try doing something different. One of my mom's favorite is I dressed up like a nerd, which is just like, you know, I had like the suspenders and like the little pocket protector and everything. And I was, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 at the time.
Wear your glasses with the tape in the middle of
little glasses
them.
With tape on top. And, you know, that was one of the ones where, you know, when I was going trick or treating, they were going, "Wow, that's the best costume. Take another piece of candy." So it's like, be a little creative with it. Get a little bit more candy, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a tip for all the kids out there that are going trick-or-treating.
That's right. That's
kind of go away from the expectations, you know? Do something a little different.
And I was kind of like Bob, the ghost costume a lot, but also either ghost or cowboy.
Yeah.
But then I was cowboy.
You were,
360 other days out of the year.
As I've said, we've got the picture of you at the 4th of July picnic when you were 6. Wearing the full black outfit.
Yeah.
In summer in Chicago at 6 at a picnic.
Yeah.
Wearing black from head to toe, wearing a holster with guns and a mask.
And your point is?
It's like, really? Weren't you hot? You go, "No, I was cool."
Yeah.
In the real sense of the word, I was too cool. So, for you dressing like that at Halloween, it was like, it was a natural thing. Yeah. Well, we have a lot that we're going to cover tonight in this abbreviated show, so we hope that you will stick with us. We'll do our round robin next hour, and we'll just get caught up on a whole bunch of things. And
we'll do the shout-outs next hour.
Oh, that's what I mean. Sure. Well, it's been 2 weeks. I haven't been here for 2 weeks. Thank you all for your wonderful, wonderful, kind wishes and messages over the past 2 weeks.
And as you can tell, Johnny isn't medicated at all tonight.
Shh. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I think it's time. I think it's time for the next installment of You Know What. Back in just a moment here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. I want to thank Deanna, who texted in about a nasty eastbound backup on 94 starting around Indianapolis Boulevard and growing longer every minute. Lots of emergency equipment in multiple lanes.
Yes, and she was going the opposite direction, so she got a bird's eye view of it, and she said they were just zipping along going westbound.
Ron, did you get any more information on that?
Just that it's two lanes blocked and that it's stop and go traffic from Calumet Avenue. That's in Lake County.
Mm-hmm.
And, eastbound at Indianapolis Boulevard. They say it's about a 17-minute delay, but it sounds like it's a whole lot worse than that. Two right lanes blocked, and I don't know how many cars were involved. It just says as accident at this point. So be very careful around that area and also make room for more time as well.
Well, Deanna, thank you for the heads up. She said, calling former traffic reporter Johnny, and I appreciate that. Gosh, that is, we find now when we go to Northwest Indiana, we actually, we stay away from 80-94. It's just always, if traffic is moving, it's moving way too fast. It's kind of frightening. It goes so fast with all that truck traffic.
My brother lives in Munster, and normally we would take the Bishop Ford down to 8094 and over to Calumet. And now we get off at 159th and scoot over that way and down to
River
to
Oaks Lee's Drive.
Yeah, sadly, I think that's just the case on most of the roadways out there anymore. I don't see, I don't know about you, but I don't see that many people getting pulled over for speeding.
No.
I used to be.
You know, I said that the other night. I said, when was the last time you saw a trooper on the Kennedy Edens? I can't even remember it.
I don't know if there's low staffing or what, but I see cars that are just like they're playing video games out there. And it's scary when you're driving. And, I mean, if I'm driving and I'm doing a little over the speed limit, which is, I'll admit to, and people are flying by me, I'm like, well, you know, I wasn't going slow.
Or, Ron, how about when they pull up behind you and flash the lights? Like, get
so
moving.
Irritating. Oh.
And a lot of times when we head out of here at about 2:30 in the morning, we're taking the Kennedy home, and it's crazy. You're right, Rod. It is a video game.
It's a knuckle-bearing experience.
And there are people out there with road rage, and you don't want to mess with them. It's just, I'm just super, super polite and pleasant. I'll wish them Merry Christmas, whatever it is that they want to do. You go right ahead. You're right in front of me.
That's right.
I'm not in that big a hurry for anything, and I'm certainly not going to get angry on the roads, but there are a lot of people out there that don't have that attitude.
Absolutely.
A lot more coming up. We'll have our Halloween poem in the next hour. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is our late friend, Screamin' Jay Hawkins. I still miss him. Screamin' Jay was such a wonderful... I still remember the last time we saw Screamin' Jay. It was saying goodbye at his hotel room here in Chicago.
Yep.
When he'd come over from Paris... we were largely responsible for Screamin' Jay headlining the 13th annual Chicago Blues Fest. He came over. We helped him get some props he needed for his performance. And he came over, and that was back in the day when we were in the Tribune Tower, and we still had a piano, and he went over to the piano and sang some songs for us.
I remember we had a fabulous cake made by the Polish baker.
Yeah.
It was a big coffin with a skeleton popping out of it. It was gorgeous, and the coffin was black frosting, so we all had blackened teeth.
Yeah.
Because it was a good cake on top of being a gorgeous cake.
And the Monday morning after his performance at the Chicago Blues Fest, we went over to say goodbye to him at his hotel, and he was emotional.
He was, yeah.
He was.
We'd become really good friends. Yeah. We would just randomly decide to call him because he lived in Paris, and with the time difference, we would grab him. Sometimes it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning here, and he'd be wide awake, and he would start singing opera, and then we'd hear.
And he had a wonderful operatic voice.
Remember, we hear pounding on the wall. Yeah. I go, "Oh, that's my neighbor. He's just now having his tea, and he's upset because I'm singing." And, 10 o'clock in the morning. And he just had the greatest sense of humor, too. And he was so much more than just, I put a spell on you.
Oh, yeah.
And he loved that song because it gave him a great deal of recognition. And it lives on. If you watch any of the singing shows, The Voice mm-hmm. or American Idol, invariably somebody will step up there to do the song. And it makes me crazy when they say, oh, yeah, Annie Lennox did such a good version of that song.
Go back to the source.
Yeah.
Go back to Screamin' Jay. Well, we're going to be playing a lot of Halloween music tonight and certainly next week. But one of the things we wanted to get to tonight, by request, years ago, more years than Johnny and I have been married, at another radio station, a listener, and I apologize, I don't remember who the listener was, a listener sent me this poem. I read it on the air that first year, and it became a tradition. The idea of this poem is it has to do with a young kid who wants to learn how to be a ghoul. So he goes to school to learn how to be a ghoul. And this is the kind of thing that for Halloween, if you're going to have a Halloween party and you're going to have kids, this is a wonderful poem to do. Either read it or you can play back the audio that you'll hear in a couple minutes.
Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, Brownies, their Halloween parties, they've used this for years and years. My mother used it for many years, and she was downright mean because she would take kids into the room where the dead man was supposedly lying, and she would have the door that you run out of covered with a sheet. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't find the door to get out because it was so scary.
So the premise is you get the kids in this dark room, and you're either reading or in a couple of minutes we're going to play the poem. And we've made it available on WGNRadio.com, and Johnny will be posting a link on our Facebook page where you can find this, and you can either read it, you can copy the script, or you can download the audio. We've made the audio available, so you can download it.
Which is even scarier, because people don't know your scary voice.
Yeah, so
kids are unfamiliar with that.
The kids will hear this weird disembodied voice reading about the kid who wanted to be a ghoul, and now they're passing a dead man's brain. So you'll hear that in a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And then after we play it, Johnny will tell you there are various things that you need to make it seem like it's a dead man's liver or a dead man's brain or a dead man's ear or whatever. So we'll take a break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, so if you want to get your tape recorders ready, when we come back from the break, we'll play the Halloween poem and we'll tell you all the things you need. So stick around. That's coming up on WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Okay, now we're going to let you hear. This is the Halloween poem that we have been doing for over 40 years. And what you want to do is you will get the kids in a basement or a dark room, and then you want to use a flashlight if you're going to read the poem, or if you want to download the audio. And Johnny is, while we're playing this, Johnny is going to upload a link to the audio mm-hmm. on our Facebook page. And you can either read the poem yourself or hear this disembodied voice reading the poem. And after you hear the poem, Johnny will tell you the props that you will need to use. But right now, if you want to get your tape recorders ready, and this is the Halloween poem.
There was a fellow who went to school to learn to be a first-class ghoul. Entrance tests were very rough. A ghoulie needs to be quite tough. They put him in a darkened room, prepared to meet his coming doom. His first test was to touch and feel what seemed to him a dead man's heel. With the thought that he would surely die, next he touched a dead man's eye. He did not need to see to know that next he touched a dead man's toe. His heart tripped fast to beat the band when next he touched a slimy hand. The next he touched, without a fear, it was just a dead man's ear. Screams he tried hard to refrain when next he touched a dead man's brain. He thought for sure he'd go insane when next he touched a dead man's vein. Next he found was very easy. Dead man's teeth didn't make him queasy. He barely made it, but not by much, when next a stomach he had to touch. He nearly left outside to run when next he felt the dead man's tongue. The last he felt with mounting dread, it was the dead man's heavy head.
Well, isn't that special?
That was the Halloween poem. And we've made it available on our Facebook page. But now if you want to know what things you need to pass.
That brings back so many memories. I could feel my heart beating faster because, again, my mother would take us into that darkened room where she was wearing, my recollection is she wore a scary mask. She always said she never did, but I think she did, and held a flashlight under her chin. And then when you turned to run from the room, she had the door covered with a sheet so you couldn't find the door. And Terry Preto, if you're out there, I'm sorry, but he ran into the door and it just knocked him flat on his back. The dead man's heel And again, you get all of these things, most of them at the grocery store, not a big deal. You keep them, you know, a secret. And the whole idea is the imagination runs wild when you're in a darkened room and you're holding a peeled potato. And it's really great if it's a cold peeled potato cut into the shape of a heel.
I love that.
The dead man's eye is a large peeled grape. Suddenly, when you're holding that in the dark, you feel like veins on it. It's very creepy. For the dead man's toe, the end of a carrot, the fat end of a carrot, and it's got those lines in it, very much like a toe, believe it or not. The slimy hand is as simple as a latex glove or any glove that you have. If it's a regular glove, make sure it's dampened and you stuff it and it just moves in your hand and it's just gross. A dead man's ear can be a fig, a dried apricot, and I don't have it listed here, but our experience was the skin of a kiwi is very, very scary because there are little hairs on the skin of the kiwi, and then it's slick and wet on the inside.
And kids aren't used to touching a kiwi.
No. And if they were to smell it, and we've had a group before where there were those boys that had seen it all, so they would immediately smell everything, and they've never smelled a kiwi. So now that's kind of freaking them out. The dead man's brain can be a dampened sponge, just an old, not a square sponge, but one of those old-fashioned sponges, and it just feels weird. A dead man's vein is a piece of cut cold spaghetti. A dead man's teeth can be wax dentures, a piece of candy corn, or if you're lucky and you got, you know, some real teeth lying around, you might want to go ahead and use those. Some false teeth, wouldn't that be freaky? The dead man's stomach is a balloon that you fill with water. You partly fill it, so when you put it in your hands, it moves and it sloshes. And if it's cold, it's even better. Dead man's tongue, believe it or not, a piece of foam rubber cut into a shape of a tongue. Again, if it's cold, if it's wet, it's very, very creepy. And the dead man's head would be a head of cabbage. And it can just simply be a head of cabbage, or you could put a mask over that head of cabbage. Sometimes kids don't even get that far.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you think in this day and age with video games and things that they're exposed to on the internet, this still works.
But it's important that you set the stage. It has to be either in a dark basement or a dark room.
Yep.
And you're either reading the poem, as Johnny said, with the flashlight under your chin, or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and Johnny has posted the link to the poem with pictures of us as Dracula and Vampira,
right.
And you can download it. You can. This will take you right to the poem. You can download the audio and play the audio if you want, because it's even scarier because they don't know who the heck I am.
Exactly. Before we take a break for the news, I want to share this from Diane Vasquez. She says she loves the Halloween poem. She says, my four grandkids, now in their 20s, still talk about me doing it with them when they were kids. They loved it. They bring it up every Halloween. So much fun. I'd light candles. We'd sit around the table and scream and laugh as the poem played, and I passed all of these things that they had no clue what they were holding. So thank you, Diane, for sharing that with us.
And next week, we will be replaying Resurrection Mary, as told by Richard Crowe in the last conversation we had with Richard Crowe on this radio station. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Richard after the news. So stay with us at WGN Radio.
All day, but tomorrow they'll be held to pay.
In the afterlife,
attentively. I mean about future calamity. I used to think the idea was obsolete until I heard the old man stamping his feet. Eternally, fire is applied to their body. Teeth are extruded and burnt to ground and baked into cakes which are passed around.
Steve King and Johnny Putman
in the afterlife.
So that was a dealer's choice. And
yeah, Michael picked that one. And Michael, help me.
Wait. We were debating.
Is it Dan Hicks or is it the Squirrel Nut Zippers or who is that?
That is the one and the only Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Oh, so. And yes.
We had the Squirrel Nut Zippers in the studio. How many? Oh, good Lord.
I guessed it.
And in fact, I think we still have somewhere in our audio files, we have live audio of when they did that.
That because, song, yes.
And they are coming back to the Chicago area. They're going to be, what, at Space, I think, in about a month or so?
So they always come around Halloween time. My parents are huge Squirrel Nut Zipper fans.
Oh, they're wonderful.
So they really have got my interest intrigued in there. But funny enough story, I was a huge fan of this guy that reviewed horror movies on YouTube, and he did a yearly thing called October, where he just did a whole month every day for 31 days. He would do a movie review, and that was the song that he had decided to use for it, and I just ever since then, always associated that song with Halloween, scary, horror, and
yeah,
it's wonderful.
It is. Oh, my gosh.
Have you ever seen the Squirrel Nut Zippers live?
I have never seen them live.
You need to go. They're wonderful.
And funny. They're so funny. I think we had them actually a couple of times on the show.
Yeah, we did.
Whole band. And, I may have them mixed up with Those Darn Accordions.
Another large band. Well, we had both of them on several times.
Yeah. But I'm thinking large bands that we would pull into the studio, and it was really amazing. Well, Michael, while you're here, we mentioned that we're going to be playing You Can't Think of October in Chicago Without Thinking of Chicago's Ghost Hunter, Richard Crowe, which I can't believe he passed away 12 years ago.
And we were so fortunate not only to have Richard on the show, on both of our shows, before we got married.
Yeah.
And we became really good friends with Richard. He was at our wedding. In fact, next week we will post a picture. We have a picture of Richard Crowe at our wedding elbowing people out of the way because he wanted to get Johnny's garter. And he told us the reason he wanted to get the garter is because there were clubs on Rush Street he could walk into with the garter and he could drink for free if he caught the garter.
So in the picture, you can see this is a man on a mission because everybody else is like laying back or all the other guys are going, whoa. And he was a big man. Such a funny guy, too. He really was. And a
great storyteller.
He was a fantastic storyteller. And he made Resurrection Mary, the hitchhiking ghost story, worldwide. I mean, it is told everywhere, every corner of the world.
I will never forget it was a Halloween night and Richard was on the show with us. And he was talking about Resurrection Mary. And we had a phone call from, I believe it was at the Justice Police Department. Or where was it? It was a police
Western
department.
Western Springs. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Resurrection is in Justice, Illinois.
Yeah.
But the police department called in, and they had just had a sighting that night. Mm-hmm. It was so freaky. But you had an experience with Richard, too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so in my years in high school, I was really heavily involved with the TV scene, what led me to go do TV production in college here. And interesting enough, at our little station, at my little high school station, is where Richard Crowe did his final television interview.
Which high school?
Riverside Brookfield High School, West Suburbs. He did his last televised interview there. I believe it was in July of 2012, and it was about 3 weeks later he passed away. So just a little interesting tidbit about Riverside Brookfield Television that Richard Crowe did his final interview there.
Well, does the tape still exist?
It does still exist. I was watching it. It's on YouTube.
Really?
So look up RBTV Richard Crowe and you'll most likely see it. And it's truly one of those things that's super interesting. Richard Crowe has played such a huge vital role in the scene here in Chicago,
sure.
especially around Halloween time. So, you know, all the different haunted tours and all that that he's done in the past, or that he did, is truly just something that I think is synonymous with Chicago. And
absolutely. And we took his tours. I never wanted to take one at night because he would freak me out just sitting in the studio with us. I mean, he was so good at telling these stories.
We had that wonderful deep voice that added to the ambience of the stories he was telling.
So we took the daytime ghost tour, which mm-hmm. was fascinating. And then we took the scariest experience of our life tour when we took a Friday the 13th midnight boat tour when he was supposed to tell us about all the ghosts up and down the Chicago River, but the weather turned on us and we almost died. Simple as that.
It was one of the few times that we had a bit of a very serious conversation with Richard because they should have canceled because the weather was so bad. I mean, if you can imagine, we're Chicago River, we go out
past
on Lake
locks.
Michigan. Weather is so bad. The boat is going from side to side.
You can touch the water.
The water was coming up on my hands.
And there were 65 of us on the boat, and all you heard was praying.
Yeah.
Literally praying. Because we would tip so far to the side that the water would come up on us, and the people would scream.
And Richard standing in the middle trying to do his narration. And
like, no.
Then he kind of realized, no, we better get back in.
We couldn't see the shoreline.
Yeah.
It was so inky dark.
And it was Friday the 13th.
Oh, my gosh. And not even a full moon, which would have helped.
I was going to say, for people that aren't from Chicago, you don't realize how tall those waves in Lake Michigan get,
yes.
especially in the late fall.
Yes.
I ride my skateboard here to work on the Lakeshore Path almost every day. and you see sometimes those waves could be 10, 15, 20 feet tall, and it's definitely a terrifying experience to get caught in those, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
And have you ever been caught in them?
No.
Good.
I couldn't imagine getting caught in them. More so what I should have said.
You know what? I'm shaking just remembering that experience because we had my mom and dad with us. And I looked behind me and my mother had her coat. My dad had taken his coat off and put it over my mother's head. So mm-hmm. if we died, she wouldn't have to see the details of it, I guess. I mean, it was like the ultimate nightmare. And I remember the next time we saw Richard after that, I said, I really just want to walk up to you and punch you in the chest and then hug you because we survived.
Yeah.
You know? But we will play the most popular story that he told.
Resurrection Mary.
And that will be next week
and
on the show.
And something else we're probably going to play next week. Wendy Snyder's son
mm-hmm.
is a guitar player.
And singer.
And he is in a group. The group is called the Vaughn Building. And they have a song called Resurrection Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play that next week, too. So if you want to let Wendy know, we're going to be rocking out to her son and then replaying Richard Crowe's last interview with us in the tale of Resurrection Mary. But that's all coming up next week. Should we take a break? Go ahead.
Real quick, I want to answer the question. A listener said, did Richard catch the garter? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh. He did. And we will post the picture. Richard caught the garter.
And our reception was not over with until after midnight. And the story goes, he hit Rush Street. I don't know if they still do that on Rush Street, but back in the day, if you showed the garter that you caught it, you could drink for free.
I guess he knew, not every club, but he knew the clubs that did.
Yeah.
So he was able to drink for free with your garter.
And then a question, no life jackets on that boat tour. Remember, we found out after the fact there were life jackets up above or under the seats.
But
or
they
something.
Hadn't passed them out to
And
any
we didn't
of
know where they were.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where they were. Because we thought when we were on the Chicago River, it was calm. Nobody realized that when we
but
got out there.
But then we went out past the locks and into the lake and life changed.
Yes, absolutely.
And flashed before our eyes.
Yes, it still does. Real quick, I want to mention this sweet text from Rachel. Back to the Halloween poem that we mm-hmm. read. She said, oh my God, you guys, my mom did this for my 10th birthday, October birthday here. At that end, my dad came in in a Frankenstein mask and scared all of us to death. We lost him 10 years ago, and this is an amazing memory. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel, for that.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. You know you make me want to keep my heels up, throw my head back. Come on now, come on now. Don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah. Say it right now, baby. Come on, come on. Say that you, say that you love me, say that you need me. Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. A little shout. Michael, which version is that? I like that.
That is the Otis Day. That is the Otis
Day. Oh, that's
Day
Otis
the
Day
and
the Nights. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So a very big classic of fans of the movie Animal House.
Yes.
Sure. Sure.
Great scene, too.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Speaking of shouts, time now for some shout outs to people listening from all over the planet.
We have 15 states that signed in tonight. I know we have many more states that are listening, a lot of folks on their cars and trucks, but 15 of those states have signed in, like Janet Gellert in Gainesville, Florida. Patty Barron is in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Becky Offsayoff is listening on her Sea Crane radio tonight. Thank you, Becky. Mary Gold is also tuned in from Tinley Park. Jan Repath is tuned in. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Larry Mann is
Thank
in
you very much.
Miami. You got anything to say for Miami? From Memphis to Miami. Helen Thomas is in K-Town, Kenosha. Debbie Hardiman is in Waukesha. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. Lynn Kinzer is tuned in, listening on her Alexa from San Antonio, or San Ann, Florida. I thought that was San Antonio, but she says San Ann. Terry Knight's in Batavia, as in Illinois. Donna Youngheim is tuned in. Barb Larkin from Milwaukee. Joyce Moore. Betty Wilkins. And by the way, thank you all for your sweet comments. Yes, I'm feeling better. All of your thoughts and prayers really helped me. No kidding. And a lot of folks chimed in tonight at 312-981-7200 to give me some well wishes, and I do appreciate that. Eric Baum, who's our listener in Wells Beach, Maine, always sends us wonderful pictures. Tonight, he sent us a picture of his lobster roll with a cup of clam chowder and fries that he enjoyed along the beach tonight. And that picture is posted.
That sounds good.
Rita Reagis in Fort Worth, Texas. Renee Hughart. I love that last name.
What a great name.
Hughart. Now, the heart is spelled H-A-R-T, but I still love the name Hughart.
I want to know what ethnicity
H-U-G-H-A-R-T. That is. Let us know that, Renee. Barb Mueller and Laura Helm are tuned in. Laura has some memories of Richard Crowe's spooky stories. The Second Reich Realty Group is listening from Boca Raton, Florida, where it's a balmy 79 degrees. Sandy McCumas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Priscilla Gilbert Steig is in Joliet. Delphine Behrman and Lloyd Moncrief, he's in Ottawa. Dr. Cryptosis is in Jefferson, Wisconsin, listening on the internet. Our buddy and the best friend of this radio station, Chuck Snitchler, is in Hobart. Carolyn Churchill and Lester Clyden, our trucking buddy, are listening. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Michael O'Connor, Patrice Tintari. Hi, Patrice. Robin Akins in Port Charlotte, Florida. Susie Schimmels in Glen Ellen. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Nancy Hollins and Scott Cooper, he's in Naperville. Sally Rock, again, a very cool name, Sally Rock. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Judy B is in Oak Lawn. Mary Roush, Peter Jukabowicz, Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport, Donna Youngheim, Diane Vasquez, she's our graphics guru, Patrice Tintari, and our good buddy, Bobby
Danos
in Sammich. He's listening in. And real quick, like I want to mention, Bonnie's in Butternut, Wisconsin. Laura and her dog Cotton are in Willowbrook. Nancy Holland, Stacy's in Algonquin. Don is in Portage, Michigan. Sherry's in Morris. Bonnie and George are in Elgin. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Jim Smith, Linda Daniels, Roger Camp, and Mags O'Toole, Bonnie Pearson, PJ's in Prairie Grove. And if I missed you, I'll catch you next week. But thank you so much.
Just checking in via text at 312-981-7200. Tom checked in from Tindley.
Yep.
Says, from Tindley as usual, love the show. Thank you, Tom.
We appreciate it. Jinx thinks you owe me a Coke.
Coming up after the news, we're going to check in with Patrick Crispin. A lot of stuff to talk about in the world of cyberspace. And if you have any computer problems, you can get to us, 312-981-7200. A lot of things to cover. And you can always get to us via email if you want to email us. It's, oddly enough, email us at steveandjohnny.com. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. No, there's nothing wrong with your computer. Well, there might be something wrong with your computer, but it is time for us to segue out to the left coast and bring in the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC, our resident computer guru. That would be your doctor, Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing today?
Well, the question is, how are you doing? Do we need to send some hugs? Because
this has not been the best of years
for Ella backwards.
Alabama football is now 0-2 against the state of Tennessee.
Ooh. Ooh. And being born and raised in Tennessee, I even hate that.
Yeah, I mean,
what happened tonight?
Tennessee won.
Okay, let me write that down. Tennessee won. Okay.
Tennessee won. And let me just say, I absolutely hate the song Rocky Top, and we heard it a lot tonight, and deservedly so. So, congratulations, Tennessee Grumble.
Well, did they do the take the goalpost and walk with it through town?
I don't think so, because they had beaten Alabama last year, I believe. So, it's not the upset that it was like when Vandy beat Alabama after Alabama beat the number one team in the country the week before. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. That's when they took the goalpost and walked it down to the Cumberland River and tossed the goalpost.
And threw it into the Cumberland River. Yeah. And nobody could understand that. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what I would do, too.
I have to interrupt here, only because Patrick mentioned last year's loss to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Bears offensive tackle Darnell Wright was on the field for Tennessee in that game. And the only highlight that they ever showed with him when he got drafted by the Bears was him blocking Will Anderson. So sorry to pour salt in the wound there, Patrick.
No, you're not.
I have to be honest. I've been an Alabama fan back when Alabama was a terrible team, and when we had the three Mikes who were the coaches, and it was so much easier back then. I miss those days, so it's nice to go back to when Alabama wasn't always competing.
Tell me this really quick, Patrick, and then I'll leave you guys alone. Where were you when Alabama played Michigan in the Orange Bowl, New Year's Day 2000?
In Chicago.
No, I probably was in Chicago.
Yes, you were.
Because we did the big 2000 countdown, remember, from 1999 to 2000. You were in the studio with us, And then ultimately he moved to a balcony overlooking the Rose Bowl parade.
I actually recorded that game on a VHS tape.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm pretty sure that tape has since disintegrated.
No, you might be surprised.
Well, we should back up for people that are new to our conversations and don't know why are we talking about Alabama. Because way back in the day when we first started talking with Patrick, he was a student
in
Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And
I was a professional undergraduate student at the University of Alabama. I will say that my undergraduate degree was the best 13 years of my life.
Yeah.
I went on and got a 13-month master, and then I went to the full doctorate. And but yeah,
but that, we are going to talk computer stuff. But I have to ask, just in the bigger scope of things, what the heck is going on with Alabama this year?
It, rebuilding, basically, you had Nick Saban who stepped down. You have the coach from Kalen DeBoer from Washington came, and he's got a new defense and a new offense, and he has probably the best players that have ever been assembled on a team, and just they haven't bought into the system yet. And there were a lot of really bad fouls tonight. I mean, more flags were thrown tonight than I'd like to see in a season.
Wow.
And it's just, I think he needs time to rebuild the program. Remember Nick Saban when he came in his first year?
Yeah.
He didn't do very well. And then, of course, the next year he went on and won the national championship. So let's give the guy a year. But after that, then we'll run him out of town.
Okay.
and hopefully you'll survive this year.
Well, there is so much to talk about. And if you have any questions, computer problems, you can get to us via text or phone call or whatever you would like at 312-981-7200. But, Patrick, I want to jump to there's so much to get to, but I want to jump to something that's going on where Mr. Musk has once again decided to say,
you know, I think I'm going to, since I'm running this thing now called X, I'm going to make a few changes.
And what did he do now?
He's made quite a few changes. I know that we talk about Twitter, now X, many, many times over the past, and we're going to continue talking about it because it is newsworthy. In the past, if you were an X user or a Twitter user, and you had somebody who was following you or harassing you or whatever, you had a block feature, and the block was sort of a nuclear block because what had happened is you not only kind of removed that person from your timeline, you made it so that that person couldn't see what you did going forward.
Right.
So all your posts, whatever. It was in effect saying, I want to be anonymous to this one person. Mm-hmm. This guy's annoying. And you can see how this is important for people who are being harassed, for certain politicians, for just anybody who is like, I don't want my ex to be able to see this. Well, this week, Twitter X announced that they're going to get rid of that. Basically, all of the posts that you have posted and you've said, I want to hide myself from this person, you're no longer going to be anonymous and hidden and kind of away from that person. All your block posts are still going to be viewable public. Now, those accounts aren't going to be able to interact with your post, but instead of you being hidden, you're not.
So basically, while you're not going to be able to, or your stalker is not going to be able to interact with you, they can still stalk you.
They can see all the pictures you post, everything you post to Twitter, they'll be able to see, or to X. They also announced, and this is going to be effective on the 15th of November, that when you are using X, you are giving X the right for them to analyze your text and any other information that you post to X for the use of training their machine learning models and for any other artificial intelligence models who might pay X for the right to get access to all of your X's and tweets and things like that. So you have to manually opt out of that. Opt out is not available yet, but just be aware that if you are using X, you not only are no longer going to hide people or be hidden from people you don't want to see you, all the things you post are going to be used to train an AI, or not just by X.com, but by third parties. The reaction to this has been, well, not very positive. In fact, a lot of people have just left X if they haven't left already. 1.2 million people hopped over to Blue Sky, which is a social media site that's popped up. That's a lot. So many, in fact, that Blue Sky crashed a little bit as people were signing up.
And Blue Sky is becoming very, very cool.
It really is, because remember, you've got Threads, and Threads was created by Meta, but Threads tries not to be political. Mm-hmm. And Blue Sky says, you know what? We're going to allow you to be political, but they actually do have the nuclear block feature there, where if somebody does harass you, or you just want to say, I'm done seeing this person, I don't want this person to see me, you block them, it is blocked, and it is a finite, absolute guaranteed that person can't see you or interact with you again. So that's actually a positive for the people who are saying, I don't want my stalkers to be able to see me on X. It's like, okay, go to Blue Sky.
Yeah. And to give you a real good idea of how this has affected Blue Sky, 1.2 million sounds like a lot of users, but on the U.S. App Store's top charts, Blue Sky climbed to number 2 in the social networking category, up from number 181 the previous day.
I love that.
So for all those times that I laugh at you for using Blue Sky, I guess I'm there.
My two favorite social network sites now are, well, of course, Facebook is still there and probably will be for the foreseeable future, but Threads and Blue Sky, oh boy, they offering some really good stuff. And what I'm doing, because I thought about, should we just get off Twitter/X? And my thought was, no, I don't want somebody else to grab the Stephen Johnny name. So all we're using that for is to post stuff related to the show. Here's who's coming on. Here's what we did. Mm-hmm. Anything else, we're using Facebook or Threads or Blue Sky,
because that
or
name
Instagram
would be available, right, if we pulled out of there. Interesting.
I had an account on Twitter 14 years ago and turned it off a little while back. It was twitter.com/Crispin, C-R-I-S-P-E-N, and gave it up. And fortunately, somebody, I think in South Africa, whose first name is Crispin, took it. So it's like, okay, you can have it.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, well, we have a lot of ground to cover talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. So stay with us. We'll come right back. 312-981-7200, our number. And remember, if we cover things and you go, I was just walking into the room and heard the tail end of that, we'll have the podcast posted later next week, so you'll be able to go back and listen to this. But right now, we'll be right back with Patrick here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be your Dr. Patrick Crispin. And there is so much to cover. And remember, the mantra, if you have what you think is a dumb computer question, there is no such thing as a dumb computer question, because you ain't born knowing this stuff.
That's right. That's been our mantra for years and years. And I want to say, coming up, we're going to spend a few minutes and talk to those of us who use Verizon for our cell phones, because when we go to our message app, we are now seeing like half the page of our phone is a message that we need to make a change. So I'm giving you a heads up. If you use Verizon for your cell phone service, we're going to talk a little bit about this change that they're trying to get us to make within the next few weeks. But first, Patrick, a listener wanted to know, and this seems like a real basic question, so it's worth covering. Is it safe to click on allow? And what about allow cookies? And apparently, if you're a newbie, you don't know what happens if I click allow or allow cookies.
And this mostly happens if you go to a new website.
Yes.
And suddenly you will see that, oh, I need to allow cookies or allow, what do I do?
What am I doing? Yes. So what's the rule of thumb?
And the rule of thumb is, if it's a site that you trust and a site you're going to go back to many, many times, particularly a site you're going to log into and you don't want to have to log in every time, you can allow cookies. It's not terribly dangerous. It might be tracking you as you go to other websites. There are cookie blockers you can put on that will prevent third-party tracking cookies from following you around. When we're talking about these cookies, what are they? Well, the best way to explain it is if I go into Costco, I have to show a card at the door to get into the store, and Costco, if they were smart, to say, oh, you're Patrick, you go and you end up buying the rotisserie chicken every time. Mm-hmm. We've got a sale on rotisserie chicken, and they'll remember me. That little card that I put in my wallet is a wallet cookie. And that's really all that's going on is you're getting a cookie, a text file that's being stored on your computer. So when you go back to a website, the website can remember you. The nefarious part is there are third-party advertisers that will pay websites to say, hey, can we have cookies on your website that you can then go put on all your customers and we can follow them around the internet and track where they're going to. Those are third-party tracking cookies. There are great cookie blockers that are available out there. But if it's a website you go to frequently, particularly one that you want to log into, allowing cookies is actually a pretty decent idea. I occasionally allow it on the sites that I trust. You're seeing it more and more because the European Union now requires it on all sites. And everybody said, okay, well, we'll just put it up for everybody around the world. Mm-hmm.
There is one program that I use several times a week. It's called Super Anti-Spyware Blocker. And I wind up using this most often if I have done some editing on my brother Lee's blog. He will do the blogs. Then I will go through and I will find the things to link to. Like if he mentions an opera name or a performer's name or something like that, I'll do some searching around and try to find, okay, what's a good link to say, here's what you need to know about Clark Gable or whoever it was. After I have done that, I run Super Anti-Spyware Blocker. And it just happened this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Over 600 pieces of crud were on my computer, and I got rid of them.
And so that's the average.
That really is the average.
400 to 600.
Again, doesn't mean it's bad stuff. Means it's stuff I don't want on my computer. I don't want these sites tracking me, and I will never go to these sites again. I was only going to them to find the information to post on Lee's blog. So that's a case where I want to use this program. Patrick, have you used it much? And I know there are other programs you can add to your browsers to eliminate that. But even with those programs on my browsers, a bunch of crud comes through. And I just find Super Anti-Spyware Blocker works pretty well to get rid of it.
I have not used that tool, but I actually do use the Electronic Frontier Foundation's Privacy Badger. If you go to privacybadger.org, and it's spelled exactly like it sounds, it's an add-on that automatically blocks and removes individual trackers in Firefox, Chrome, Edge, and Opera. And it's just a extension, and it works really, really well.
privacybadger.org.
Yep.
Okay. Well, while we're talking, I'm going to take us back to Blue Sky because the listener wants to know, Blue Sky, wasn't that always invitation only? And who do I get an invite from?
You don't have to get an invite anymore. It is now open to everybody. It is a social media site. You can just sign up for free. And the web address is kind of weird. You need to go to bsky.app. So it's not bluesky.com. It's bsky.app. And you can log in there.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm really enjoying, and I'm sure you've noticed it too, Patrick, Blue Sky is on a roll where they're adding new features a lot per week these days, and they're really some good features.
Okay, another quick question on Blue Sky. Is it owned by a person the way X is owned by Musk?
I don't know the answer to that. Let me find out. We'll find out okay. After the news.
All right. Because yep. I have a feeling the listener is kind of suspicious. You know, if I put my stock in this app and they decide that they're going to do crazy things, well, you know, I'm going to be back at square one again. We are going to take a break for news. We'll come back. We do have a lot more ground to cover as we talk tech a couple times a month with Dr. Patrick Crispin. So stay with us right here on WGN.
Did you know the computers are everywhere?
Really?
Always just have to look like a desktop or a laptop.
Okay.
Computers are our greatest friends. They help us every day. Oh. Calculating all these numbers in the car they showed away. Sometimes there's computers and things like mobile phones, but also in our cameras and in flying drones.
Computers. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We are talking tech stuff with the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. That will be your doctor, Patrick Crispin. And yes, computers are in phones, boys and girls.
Yes, they are. And for about a week or so, I've been complaining about every time I go to my conversations in my message app, half of the of my big screen on my phone is taken up by this "Hi there" message. Message Plus will be shutting down effective 11/7/24. For the best possible experience, use Google Messages as your default messaging app. It's simple and it's easy to switch. And I find myself saying, no, I don't want to switch. I'm perfectly happy with this. Patrick, what's this all about?
You want to switch.
Really?
Just trust me. I'm gonna jump to the end. You want to switch.
Oh.
Verizon has their own messages app. It's called Verizon Message Plus. It could also be called Verizon Messages if you look in the Google Play Store. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pull the plug on it on November 7th. Now, I want to make sure for people listening, we're not talking about iMessage on iPhone or Google Messages or anything else. It's a separate Google app. Verizon app that's called Verizon Message Plus, and it's sort of a red logo that looks like two text boxes, mm-hmm, or speech bubbles, and you find that. And it's really a way for you to have unified text messaging across all your devices. The thing is that they're going to stop supporting this on November 7th, and Verizon saying you're going to need to switch to a different app, and they're recommending that you use Google Messages if you have an Android app, and you use Apple Messages if you have iOS. Samsung actually kind of got the message a while back. Samsung had their own messaging app, and they got rid of that and moved over to Google Messages, and now Verizon's getting out of the business. So here's the question. What happens on the 7th of November when you have Message Plus? Are your messages going away? And the answer is no, but you won't be able to see them or send them or do anything until you switch to a new messaging app, like Google Messages or Apple Messages. And once you do, then your old messages automatically should, underline the word should, transition to the new app, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. If you're really concerned and you have an Android, there is a tool or an app that you can download called SMS Backup and Restore. And you can save a copy of your Android messages before you make the switch. If you have Apple Messages, you don't have to worry about that. But you really need to do this. So why? What's going on? Well, if you're part of the 45% of the public who uses Android or the 55% who use an iPhone, you know that when you send a message to somebody, you're going to see the text message show up in one of two colors. It's going to be a blue bubble if you're sending iPhone to iPhone, and it's going to be a green bubble if you're sending to Android. And the problem is that the green bubble version of text messages doesn't have all the bells and whistles that you get on the blue messages that you get on the iPhone. And if you try to send something from an iPhone to an Android device or an Android to an iPhone device, sometimes the pictures get degraded. If you try to send a video between those two through messages, oh it's garbage.
Okay.
It looks like it's shot with a potato.
That explains the videos that I get from you guys, because you're iPhone and I'm Android.
You're iPhone.
And I'm like, really? That's not a real good sales point for an iPhone.
So Google is saying, we don't care who you are. You can see it all if you're doing Google.
And really, it's Apple kind of degrading and Android not having all the bells and whistles that are going on. There is a new-ish tool or sort of protocol called RCS, Rich Communication Services, which is being used over on Android and is now supported on the iPhone, although iPhone being iPhone, they support RCS, but with the Apple version of RCS that has more bells and whistles because it's Apple and Apple always does more, just because they want to be Apple. So this new rich communication standard is going to be the standard for sending messages on Android to Android and sending messages from iPhone to Android to Android to iPhone. And if you're doing texting between those, you will now be able to send and receive emoji reactions, which is something we've done on iPhone for a long time. When Christine sends me a text message and I need to say, I got it or I agree, I do the thumbs up. I don't have to say yes or no. You'll now be able to do that from iPhone to Android and Android to iPhone.
Okay.
You'll be able to see typing indicators. So if you send a message to somebody, you'll be able to see when somebody is typing back. You'll be able to get read receipts. You'll be able also, more importantly, most importantly for Johnny, when we send you messages or videos of Joseph doing things, you will now get large, high-quality photos and videos. It's not going to look like it was shot with a potato.
Because his the videos from his karate, it looks like they're a bunch of marshmallows. Mellows out there, just a little white geese kicking around. I'm like, where is he?
So RCS is now enabled by default. Latest versions of Google Messages and iOS messaging apps. The problem is that Message Plus, which is Verizon's app, only was able to do it on Samsung S9 devices. And later, and I think, honestly, I think Verizon just said, oh, the heck with this. We give up. You know, just go to Google Messages. It works. It works for everybody. So they're washing their hands and getting out of that app business. So as long as you have an Android running Android 5, which is Lollipop, or later, or an iPhone running iOS 18, which is the latest version of iOS, by the way, you really are good to go. And there's nothing more that you need to do. Other than if you're an Android user using Verizon Message Plus, you got to stop using it. And my recommendation, and I agree with Verizon on this one, is go to Google Messages, absolutely free of charge. And it has all the features that you would have in Verizon Message Plus, but it's not going anywhere because Google supports it.
So basically, when that Google message pops up, go ahead and click on it and say, yep, do it, and it will take you to all the hoops you need to jump through.
Honestly, looking at that message, they do a lousy job of, of doing nothing other than making me feel like they're being pushy.
Yeah.
You know, by November 7th, you need to go there. You're going to love it. Really? Well, tell me why. What am I going to love about it? And Patrick, everything you've said has sold me. I'm like, okay, when I get home, I'll
you
do this.
Do it.
And Patrick,
it's a good thing, but
isn't that one of the problems with too much digital technology? You will get this message saying, here's this new thing. Do you want it? Rather than, okay, here's what we're doing. Here's how it would impact the way you've been doing things. Here's how it would make it better or worse. And here are the options
and
you have.
They're probably
so basically, you don't have any information. It's just a yes or no. Do I want this?
Yeah. There probably is an FAQ.
Yeah.
But they don't make it easy to find.
They don't make it,
Well, and the people who create these apps, you know, they love it. This is their lives. And they don't recognize that there are those of us who don't live in these apps all the time and don't understand it. So, you know, they'll send you a message saying, would you like to recommend this app to your friends? And it's like, no. I go away. I will use your app when I want to use your app.
Yeah.
But for now, shut up and just sit in the background. I'll call you when I'm ready.
Right.
They don't understand I have a life. I'm not tied to this 24/7 like you are.
All right. Quick question on this before we take a break. Do you need to check your phone? A listener asks if you need to check your phone to see if you have the Google Message app on your phone before you go and look for it.
No, I mean, you will know if you're using the Verizon Message app. And if you don't have the Google Message app, you can download it from the Google Play Store absolutely free of charge. If you have an iPhone, just use iMessages. It's already built in.
Okay. Well, good. That was a good question, though, because, you know, I'm thinking, well, I have the newest Samsung phone that's out there at this point. You know, give them a minute and a half. There'll be another one out there. But
but that's interesting, too. Johnny and I both have Samsung phones, new ones, but hers reacts differently than mine does.
Yes.
We will get the same messages, but not always the same way.
And we have different operating systems, too. Yes. And a listener says, we just need to convert the two of you to the latest iPhone.
No.
But we've already gone over to that side with the laptops.
Well,
that's right.
But we're using both Windows and Mac with laptops.
And you're loving the Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not
Before we break, loving the Mac with certain qualifications, Patrick. You remember when we were down in Florida and I upgraded to a new operating system and
Patrick's... It did not take Microsoft Office. Microsoft Office wouldn't work on your computer until we had went through a special download.
Yes.
And out of Patrick's mouth came the words, I've never, ever seen that before.
You did record that.
You were, yeah.
Yes.
We'll take a break. We're talking with Dr. Patrick Crisp, and we're talking tech, and we've got a little bit more to cover with him tonight here on WGN.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start format. Technologic.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio, and we're talking technologic and techno-illogic and all kinds of technology with Dr. Patrick Crispin, who is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And we had been talking earlier about Blue Sky.
And a listener wanted to know if Blue Sky is owned by an individual, like X is owned by an individual. And Patrick, info on that?
It's owned by a company of itself. It's basically Blue Sky owns Blue Sky. It's a public benefit corporation out of Delaware. And it was former Twitter employees who set it up. Jack Dorsey, with Twitter, who was part of it, was on the board of directors. He stepped down. But it is so who owns Blue Sky? Blue Sky owns Blue Sky. But again, their goal as a public benefit corporation is they're going to make some money, but it's not their primary goal. They want to make sure they can keep their lights on and pay their salaries, but they want to do good for the public. And that's what it's a little different from any of the other platforms out there that, you know, that have gotten a lot of attention. Blue Sky is there for the good of us. So I kind of like that.
Okay, you sold me on that. Boy, this is a great night. In spite of the fact that the text that came in to Patrick and Steve, I'm just sitting here, you know, keeping the chair warm. Do you gentlemen ever use CC Cleaner anymore?
I haven't used it. I've still got it loaded on a couple machines, but I think I stopped using it a couple years ago. Patrick, what was the... Oh, there was some scandal about CC Cleaner when it came out that they had actually been keeping some information or doing something that we weren't happy with. What was that? It was about 2 years ago.
And yeah, I can't remember, but basically there are other programs out there that have come out that are just as good. And the reality is you don't need either of them anymore. The whole point of something like CCleaner or, and this is unfortunately got controversial, but BleachBit was they're there to kind of help you clean out your registry. And honestly, those are just leftovers of a bygone era. You don't need to use any of these tuning programs because your computer kind of does that now automatically. I'm a big believer that, you know, Microsoft Defender is good enough for most people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me hold you on Registry Cleaner. There is still the program. I think it's called Reg Cleaner. Do you recommend that anymore or not?
You really don't need to do any of those things. You can use a tool like Revo Uninstaller, right, but Windows has gotten better. So if you need to uninstall anything, Windows Uninstaller really does work. So it was a great tool back before Microsoft caught up and said, oh, we probably need to start building these features in.
A listener at 815 area code says, is that bluesky.com or org? And Patrick, isn't it bsky.app?
That's the easiest way to get into it, bsky.app.
So not Blue Sky, but the shortened bsky.app. Okay, let's go back to Apple. 605 area code says, what do you think of the new Apple Passwords app?
I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Really?
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Because we talked about this on the air last year, where we're kind of getting away from passwords and going to pass keys. And the way pass keys are is it's a cryptographic key that's stored on your computer and then shared with some remote site. You don't need to know it, and therefore it's much less likely for somebody to hack you and get into your devices because they have some sort of way of getting your password. So if you have an Apple device and you're using the Passwords app, it is such a great tool. I still recommend using 1Password, but I'm kind of getting to the point where the Apple Passwords app might be enough on its own, especially as it supports pass keys, which are the next generation of security.
I assume, but never assume, that the Apple Passwords app is not available for Android no. devices?
No, you have to have an Apple device because it has a special hooks into Apple's encryption and parts of the chip that are just not available to Android.
Stop laughing.
Sorry.
He wasn't laughing. He was snickering.
Okay.
There's
a chortle and a snicker, and that was a snicker. Okay, before we run out of time, Patrick, I think you've said that there's going to be a topic that's going to be talked about quite a bit in coming months, and this is the Google antitrust verdict?
Yeah, you're not going to hear a lot about this until next year, but I just want to preface this. You're going to hear that the Department of Justice and basically all of the attorney generals, I mean like 38 states and territories, filed antitrust suits against Google. And their claim was that Google, if you look at them, their search agreements that they have with Android and what they pay Apple to be the default search engine on iPads and iPhones is anti-competitive and actually violates antitrust laws. And I'm not sure they're wrong in that. I mean, the reality is that Google paid Apple $20 billion. Last time we know this, it was in 2022. Just to be the default search engine on all Apple devices. Hmm. And if you're a competitor to Google, you're going to say, that's not fair. And Google's making lots and lots of money so they can afford it. Federal judge in July said, you know, you're right. Google actually is a monopoly when it comes to search, and it's also a monopoly when it comes to advertising. That's big news. Now, the question is, what happens next? Google's monopoly, where do you go from here? There's going to be a hearing in April, and the judge has said that he expects to rule in August, so that's when you're going to start hearing about this a lot. But last week, the Department of Justice made their recommendations on what punishment Google should have to face because they're a monopoly. The reality is, we don't know what's going to happen. It's up to the judge. Likely, you're going to make those payments that Google is paying Apple illegal, where Google's paying $20 million to become the default search engine for Apple devices going away, so somebody else could come in and pay Apple $20 billion, like Microsoft or DuckDuckGo. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think the reality is sometime next year or the year after that, when you open up your iPhone, you'll have a choice to choose what your default search engine is. You're going to choose Google because everybody chooses Google.
Yeah.
And Apple's going to make $20 billion less. But again, you know, does Apple need the money? So it's kind of win-win for everybody. Google could also, this is possible, but not guaranteed, could be required to give information to competing search engines of what people are searching for and what they're getting back so that they can compete better in developing the next generation of their search engines. European Union sort of requires this right now with the Digital Markets Act, so I'm not sure that's too far away. I don't think breakup's going to happen. I just can't see Microsoft, you know, the Microsoft proposal where Microsoft was broken apart, but Microsoft now, you know, still as powerful as ever. I don't think that's going to happen here where you're going to see Google broken up and the structural changes. I think the reality is you're going to see it more likely a year from now where you're going to say that you get to choose what your default search engine is. You're going to choose Google. Congratulations.
But this is going to be a big story next year because in April, that's a target date for a hearing. And then in August, a ruling, a decision will be handed down.
Yep, just be aware it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we got 1 minute before we have to break for news, Patrick. Tech is behind us. You were at Disney for a couple of days, right? At Disneyland?
So we have annual passes, and we were at Disneyland on Thursday night and Friday. Mm-hmm. And we got hungry and decided, you know, let's go get something to eat. And we're walking past the castle, and they kind of blocked off the front of the castle. We noticed that they had put up a stage, and they had Christmas trees, and it was like, dude, it's like 80 degrees and it's October. What the heck is going on? And he blocked everything off and they had camera crews and everything. And we go out to dinner, lunch. And of course, you know, because, you know, Chicago, we went to Portillo's.
Of course.
We go to Superdog, but there is no Superdog out here. So we went to Portillo's. And we're at Portillo's going, okay, this is great. And scrolling through social media. And apparently, Disney was filming their holiday special, which they're going to show on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And apparently John Legend was on the stage singing his Christmas
right
music. And we walked right by John Legend to go get Portillo's hot dogs. So,
and they let you put ketchup on your hot dogs out there, don't they?
Well, Christine does, but you know.
But I mean, they allow.
I would never do that.
It's not like they arrest. It's not like they arrest you in Chicago. They actually allow you to do that in California.
You're permitted here, yes. Although you know I'm getting a Maxwell Street Polish every time.
So. Oh yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight. I'm so happy that we addressed some of these things because now I feel informed and I can make.
And we're getting a lot of texts with a lot of people that are happy we address these things, too.
And the blue sky and the Google Plus business is very interesting. Thank you, Patrick.
News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
When this world starts a-reeling from that pressure drop feeling, we're just treading water each day. There's a way to feel better, be well set to weather the storms till the sun shines again. When your compass is spinning and you're lost on the way, like a leaf in the wind, friend, hear me when I say, bubbles up, they will point you towards home. No matter how deep or how far you roam, they will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know that you are loved. There is light up above, and the joy is always enough. Bubbles up.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Love that song. Love that guy. Jimmy Buffett, who was one of the many names inducted Saturday night into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What a varied bunch of people.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett, MC5, Norman Whitfield, Dionne Warwick,
Ozzy Osbourne, Cher,
Alex Korner, John Mayall, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang.
Where have I been? I don't know the band called Quest. I'm like, really?
They've been around for, good Lord, how many years? Michael, how many years, band called Quest?
So I want to say they started early 90s, maybe even late 80s.
That sounds right.
But I've been a huge fan of Tribe for a long time. A Tribe Called Quest is one of my favorite, you know, groups of all time. Mm-hmm. He inspired one of my favorite artists of all time, Mac Miller, or that group, rather, inspired one of my favorite artists of all time, Mac Miller. Which is, you know, one of those things when you're growing up, you know, you hear the people that you like listening to and you kind of listen to who they listen to. And definitely a part of my part of my high school years and
youth.
My college years. A Tribe Called Quest is a group that is very well deserving of being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, I think the problem was the couple of stories I read called them the Band Called Quest. Now, Tribe Called Quest, I'm familiar with, but I'm looking like, really, a band called Quest? Let me take you back to Jimmy Buffett. Boy, there wouldn't be a dry eye in the house. I thought it was pretty cool because Dave Matthews actually did part of the tribute to Buffett with an acoustic version of Buffett's A Pirate Looks at 40. Mm. James Taylor then came out to call Buffett, who popularized beach bum soft rock with Margaritaville, and larger than life, but at the same time right-sized and always authentic, he said. Taylor, Kenny Chesney, and Mac McAnally then performed Come Monday. That song... Because that was a favorite of Bob Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hear Come Monday, I have to think of Bob at the same time. So there would not be, I would be a mess at the end of that. And Cher, I did not realize that Cher had a top 40 hit in the last 7 decades.
Yeah.
That's stunning. She's only 78.
Going back to the Sonny and Cher days.
But I'm like, Zendaya, how can that be? She's not that old.
And I was glad to see that finally, Willie Mae, Big Mama Thornton.
Yeah. If you want to go back to the beginning.
If you want to talk the beginnings of rock and roll, the original version of Hound Dog, written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, and she was just so funky.
Yeah. It was a really interesting mix of people. As we were getting ready for the show, I said to you, who's the only performer that has been inducted 3 times?
Right.
And Michael, you've proven that you know a lot about music. Who do you think is the only performer? And I'll tell you this, it's an individual, it's not a band, inducted 3 times.
So is this this is a person as a solo artist and then probably 2 bands. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. Very good.
I'm going to guess Tom Petty.
Oh, that's a good one.
Guess.
But not.
Because you have the Traveling Wilburys and then you have.
I love the Traveling Wilburys. But you have. Were they ever put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't think. They should have been, but I don't think they ever were. I could be wrong.
That's a good guess, though. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
If I say Eric Clapton?
Yeah.
Not the...
Yardbirds, Cream, Clapton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only one to be... I guess Ozzy, since he was inducted tonight, he must be in there twice.
See, my first guess, and apparently I was wrong, was McCartney, because I would have thought
Wings and Solo. Yeah. Yeah, you would think. They got to catch up with this. It's always so controversial because when they announce who's going to be inducted, there's this long list of people that should have been inducted a long time ago.
And we may have to talk with a friend of ours.
Pat Bergeson?
Pat Bergeson.
Yeah.
Who was a brilliant guitar player. We've had Pat on the show many times. And Pat was accompanying Peter Frampton tonight. in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Hasn't Frampton technically retired?
No, he's been doing his what basically is his last tour, because he's got some physical problems now. And he's come out with a couple new albums. There was an all-instrumental album. And then he's been performing, sitting down for a lot of his performance these days, but doing what is basically his last tour.
Mm-hmm.
But still creating and making some great music.
Can I take you back to the Cher business? How could she be in the last seven decades if she's 78 years old?
Well, her first record, okay. Her first
was
records
she in her
were.
Teens? I guess so, if you're in your teens.
I wonder how they're defining this.
Yeah.
Because
prior to
Sonny and Cher, she was one of the background performers on some of the early Phil Spector records.
But she was introduced by Zendaya last night as being the only person to have, the only woman to have a Billboard charted record in the past seven decades. And at 78, she's got the goods. And I'm thinking, do the math. She was not a preteen when she first started performing. And
I'm
certainly
not sure that's accurate.
Didn't make it on the charts.
Because 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2000s.
Yeah, you're good.
Technically.
You're good.
But that reminds me of someone else that we've had on the show, and it's been way too long since we've had him on the show, who just celebrated an 87th birth? No, 84th? Cliff Richard.
Oh, 84. He was 84 years old just a couple days ago.
And for those of you who are not familiar, Cliff Richard basically, the Elvis Presley of Europe. He started in 1958, and he has been on the charts in literally every decade since then.
Mm-hmm.
He's had top 10 records.
Top 10, yeah. Because in recent years, it seems like at Christmas, they release a Cliff Richard tune,
right,
and it goes to the top of the charts every single time. Yeah, and 84 years old, that's pretty crazy. Speaking of seniors, I guess one of the high points of the show last night was Dionne Warwick. She brought down the house at 83.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
If you haven't seen, there was a wonderful
documentary
on, was that on HBO or the History Channel?
I don't recall.
But it's a wonderful documentary on Dionne Warwick, going from her early days up to the present.
Yes.
And just
a great story.
Yeah.
Really is. We've got to take a break. Again, it was a shortened show. We're trying to squeeze all this hours.
So many things to get to.
Into 3.5 hours. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We are rapidly running out of time, and there's so much we wanted to get to. Two serious things.
Yes.
One, we are, 16, 17 days away from the election?
Mm-hmm.
Vote. Vote, 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 vote.
Well, vote.
Yeah, but if you are of voting age and for whatever reason you have decided not to vote, please stop listening to our show. We don't want you. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
This election is way too important. As we've said before, if you don't vote, don't bitch. And there is zero excuse for anyone of voting age. I know there are all sorry, you got time. Mm-hmm. Vote.
Yes.
Period.
And it's even hard to understand how one would be undecided, but I'll cut you some slack and say, okay, you got a couple more days, make up your damn mind. Okay?
Yeah.
And then vote.
If you're not decided, what rock have you been hiding under for the past several years?
So do it. The other thing you should consider doing is
COVID.
Get your vaccine.
Vaccination.
Yep.
Because there is an upswing and a predicted more upswing in
winter.
Yeah, for winter. For sadly, and I don't get. We've been reading articles about people are saying, "No, I'm not getting it."
It was never. I just had this conversation the other day. It was never promised to be a 100% protection against COVID, because this person
neither
said
is
to
the
me,
flu vaccine.
"Well, I got the other ones, and still I got COVID." Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's here, and it's going to be a lot like the flu vaccine. We've said that for a couple of years now. It comes around every year, and you can choose to be protected against it, or you can end up sick. We know in just a, I guess now we're at 3 months.
Yeah.
We know of six people who became terribly ill with this strain of COVID.
And we have also, sadly, had some friends who have died because of COVID.
Yes.
So, are we haranguing? Hell yes. This is serious. And if you want to look at it like the flu vaccine, every now and then you're going to have to get it. Yeah, fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do that.
And again, even the CDC says there's nothing that's 100% protection.
No.
That's not even the case with the flu vaccine. On a much lighter note, can I take you to something lighter?
I don't know. Michael, can she take us to something lighter?
Please.
You know what? Although it might be heavy stuff, it's very important that it gets said. So
thank you.
Definitely let's, we could always move on to something lighter, but it's important to get through the important stuff, too.
Yes, agreed. And we're trying to squeeze 5 hours into 3.5 hours, so bear with us, folks. I want to mention, back in the summer, we interviewed a delightful woman.
Oh, yes.
Named Alice Selke. Alice was celebrating her 106th birthday. That's 106. She was so funny, so articulate.
We had a ball with her. We have to get her back on.
She was still living in the house that she lived in.
By herself,
back in the day when she was the first fire department dispatcher. And she told us.
And this was the suburb of
Hoffman Estates. And she told us these great stories about she had to stay home. So she raised her kids, but she had to be there by the phone in case somebody called in and said there was a fire. Well, her husband was the first fire chief. And so they named the fire station after him, Selke, Carl Selke. Mm-hmm. Well, next week, I want you all to know that on October 26th, the village of Hoffman Estates is inviting the whole community to join the local officials and first responders for the groundbreaking ceremony for the new Fire Station 21. This is going to happen at noon next Saturday. The groundbreaking will be held at the construction site located adjacent to the current fire station. And they have told the family that, in fact, the new fire station will continue to be named after Carl Selke.
I love that.
And Alice is going to be there at the ceremony, which is just wonderful. The more I learn about Carl, not only was he the first fire chief for that town, but what an interesting story. I mean, there's a lot to be told there, and I think we have to get Alice back on the show soon.
Any excuse to talk to Alice again.
She was delightful.
I'm all over that.
Yeah.
We should also mention that next week, once again, we will have a late start, roughly 10:30-ish, post-Blackhawks. Also, joining us in studio next week will be our friend Don Romano.
Oh, yes.
Don is a...
He's an old soul.
A very old soul. He's a musical archivist. And, I mean, he has archived things going back centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he's bringing in next week, rare and funny Halloween songs. So that'll be part of what we're doing next week, which will be our last show before Halloween. Also, we talked about Chicago's ghost hunter Richard Crow. Next week, we will be replaying our last interview with a portion of our last interview with Richard Crow, where he tells the story of the legend of Resurrection Mary. So that'll be happening next week. Also next week, the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, will join us. How could we tie that in with Halloween?
Knowing Tom,
stories of evil cars like Christine.
Oh. Oh, that's good.
I wonder if there are
cars that were possessed.
Possessed cars. I think that's what we're going to give him for for a topic for next week.
Sometimes we call them lemons, but in fact, they may be possessed by Satan. You never know. Oh, gosh. A listener from a 630 area code says about Cher's age, just wanted to say that in my high school years in the 60s, Cher was 19, or so they said, when I saw Sonny and Cher in front of Marshall Fields autographing promo copies of the soundtrack album for their movie Good Times.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, back in, what, 66, 67, something like
that?
Yeah,
it must be, because it was about that time.
Now, why do I think there was a song from that soundtrack called Rain?
Oh.
I think.
I don't know. I saw the movie as a kid, and I was at the Uptown Theater when they stopped the movie. In the middle of the movie, this was the matinee, and Sonny and Cher walked out on stage. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. I mean, it was just one of those, they didn't sing or anything, just waved at everybody and thanked them for supporting them. And he was wearing that goofy fur vest, and she looked fabulous and rail thin with long hair. And
my first clue that Sonny and Cher were not going to last was in the 60s when I was backstage at the Eric Cron Theater. Sonny and Cher were one of a number of acts who were performing at the Eric Cron. They had finished performing.
Oh.
And I'm backstage with a bunch of other people. Cher comes walking off backstage, and Sonny is still on stage shaking hands with some of the audience. Cher just comes walking off in a huff, and she said, "You'd think he'd never done a show before." You know, that doesn't speak well for
the future.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. And
after the news and after a few spots, we'll do a truncated version of Sports Between the Sheets.
Yes, we will, even though there's no Bears game tomorrow. There's a couple little things we need to talk about with Gabe. So stay with us here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Speaking of sports, we have time for a short edition of Sports Between the Sheets.
And speaking of Kansas City, wearing the Kansas City jersey because everything else was dirty. it's our news guy.
Before we go any further with that, it's a Kansas City Royals jersey, by the way, not a Chiefs.
It's a KC. And it's royal blue. It's my favorite color. But
we thought there might have been a Taylor Swift thing going on there, too. But that's
you know, I don't even listen to her music.
Oh, stop.
I don't.
Okay, but we'll still talk to you.
Yeah.
So the Bears don't play today. And my question is, in the world of sports, since they're doing so well, is this a good thing or a bad thing that they get this whole week off?
You know, I can say it can go both ways because, you know, the bye week obviously is a good way to decompress, heal injuries, and kind of just take a break for a time. But when I think about what can go wrong after a bye week, I always think about the 2001 San Diego Chargers. They started off 4-0. Hit their bye week, and then lost 10 straight afterwards. Not saying the Bears are going to do that, but just saying that, you know, bye weeks can be both good and bad for teams. But, you know, for me, when I think about, you know, the Bears, this gives them a chance to, you know, heal some of their injured players because they have quite a few, and they've dealt with injuries all season, and, you know, they're 4-2. They've been able to fight through it. But, you know, injuries are never a good thing, so I think that, you know, the Bears are playing too well to kind of have that kind of screw up that the Chargers did in 2001. Yeah. But, you know, getting some of these healthy players back will certainly be a big plus.
And like you, I can go both ways on this. On one hand, you know, give them a little rest. On the other hand, they've got some momentum built up now. You don't want to lose that momentum.
That game in London was exciting.
That was wonderful.
It was really, that was good football.
That was like, and Gabe, I'm sure you've been reading the same things that we've been reading. It has been so refreshing to see some of the sports columnists, many of whom have been really down on the Bears, coming around and saying, okay, we finally got the quarterback that we've been after. Let's hope this continues.
And, you know, I'd have to agree with that. And obviously, you know, Caleb Williams does things that, you know, Justin Fields, you know, either didn't do or couldn't do at times. I mean, throwing into those tight windows, you know, making those spiral throws and, you know, and you know, double coverage and somehow finding receivers when it seems like nobody's open. And, you know, I will definitely say that he has certainly has a stronger and more accurate arm than Justin Fields does. And it's probably more mobile.
And he's feeling more comfortable.
Right. And the way that he's progressed in this offense, you know, week to week is certainly a breath of fresh air. What helps that is, you know, the play of DeAndre Swift. The Bears have finally found a way to maximize his skill set.
Yeah.
As both not just, you know, not just taking handoffs in the backfield, but also as a receiver, catching passes out of the backfield, keeping defenses guessing. And that's a big reason why the Bears have had so much success offensively is because DeAndre Swift, nobody can tackle the guy.
Again, that's one of the reasons you can go both ways on the bye week, because there's a lot of things coming together right now, and you don't want to lose that. So.
Right, and obviously when they get back on the field next week, they're going to play Washington, who's also in the same boat, rookie quarterback, who's also lighting up the league, and the team was also, you know, trying to prove themselves as contenders in these early weeks of the season. So the Bears will certainly have probably their biggest test of the season next week. I mean, granted, they did play Houston in week two, but the Bears weren't quite ready at that time. They were still kind of putting things together. Now that they have everything put together, now they're going to play a team that, you know, many would say is equal to them in, in many aspects. So it'll be a fun game to watch. And they move that game to a 3:30 game instead
yeah,
of
I
being,
saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of being a noon kickoff, because they're going to get more eyes on it.
Yeah.
Huh. Good.
Okay, I'm going to do a little bit of a sidestep here. Over the past couple of weeks, Johnny and I have been very glad that we have DirecTV because we're actually able to see the Bulls and the Blackhawks and this whole carriage thing that is going on with, what is it called, the Chicago Sports Network or
right.
something like that. It's Michael, you're laughing. What is your experience?
So one of the most interesting things I think that has come out of this whole thing, so, you know, as many sports bars do, play the games. Not many places right now, especially a lot of people at home, have it. So you'll see these bars being now busy on Tuesdays and Mondays because people are just trying to watch a Bulls game or just trying to watch a Hawks game. Like my roommate last weekend was last Tuesday, I look at him and I go, what are you up to? And he goes, oh, I'm going to the bar. And I go, on a Tuesday? And he goes, I just want to watch the Hawks game and get some food. And I'm like,
wow.
And, you know, it's one of those things that you have to almost unconditionally think about is the fact that you can't get it at home unless you have an antenna sticking out your window or something like that. And
or DirecTV.
Or DirecTV. Yeah. And it's right now, for especially those that have Comcast, it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
And Gabe, I guess this all has to do with, as I get it, the sports network is not necessarily the bad guys in this. It's a whole Comcast negotiation thing, and Comcast is kind of saying, why should we pay you what you've been asking, because you've been putting it up for free on some of these over-the-air digital stations, but they don't have a really good signal, so a lot of people can get that. So
right, and that's the thing that I haven't heard talked about much. They're on the sub-channels of WJYS, and WJYS has two channels because one signal goes south, the other signal goes north. And a lot of people, of course, I don't know too many people who watch that channel, but the reason why, in fact, before everything went all digital, when we still had either the old-fashioned antenna or you had to put the cable box in the back of the TV, WJYS had both channels 62 and 34 because of the fact that their signal on channel 62, their original channel, is not so great. And now, of course, you're trying to scan it with a digital antenna. There might not be a guarantee that you'll get the channel. I mean, I don't know if the signal issue is still a thing now, because I haven't used an antenna in I don't know how long. But so that's part of it. And the other thing, too, is not everybody, you know, wants to go and buy an antenna. Not everybody even has, you know, formal cable. They're using streaming, like, you know, just like you have DirecTV, so do I. And that's how I'm able to see these games as well. So viewing habits have changed, obviously, and, you know, a lot of people don't want to use the antiquated technology, so it's going to come down to, you know, what Xfinity, Comcast is willing to pay to carry the channel. And let's not forget, when Marquee first launched, they weren't widely available either.
Yeah,
that's right.
And at that time, I had UVerse, and Marquee popped up right away on UVerse, but it took a while for them to get to everybody else. So unfortunately, these things happen. But for those who don't have DirecTV or, you know, or don't use an antenna, hopefully it doesn't drag on any longer so they can watch the games.
But also, it's really become a kind of a weird conundrum because, as I understand it, the sports network was putting it on these over-the-air stations because they wanted, hopefully, the most amount of people to be able to see it for the least amount of money. But now Comcast is saying, okay, in order to pay what you're asking us to pay to carry you, we are going to have to put it in a higher tier and charge more money. And the sports network is saying, we don't want it to be in the higher tier. We want it to be in the lower tier where more people can have access. So it's just back and forth.
And that's understandable because if I do remember correctly, NBC Sports Chicago was a regular channel.
Right.
You know, because I did, there was a time where I did have Xfinity Cable, and that was that and ESPN were the regular channels. But if you wanted like an NFL network, a Big Ten network, that would have been extra. So so that's understandable too. But again, you know, I think it's going to come down to who blinks first, and then usually how these situations work out.
I was going to say, too, I think it's also really indicative of just where television's at right now, where, you know, you see all these people finally able, like, why was the only reason you couldn't cut the cord? Live sports.
Yeah.
And now you have all these streaming services that have all these live sports now, especially like things like YouTube TV. And I think cable companies are not happy with that. I think they're not happy.
But the flip side of that is a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, I can get all this with a DirecTV. Why do I want to pay the equivalent of what I'm paying for DirecTV or maybe more for all of these umpteen thousand streaming services when I can put it in one place and it's all... So, I mean, you can pick your poison.
You can teeter-totter that port back and forth, but more so, it's just we've never seen live sports as digitally available as they are right now, where you could go on, you know, like you're talking about the million things, you know, you got ESPN Plus, you have Max, you have Hulu, you have one of the only things that I found great, and my roommate, his family has cut their cable and switched to YouTube TV.
Oh, YouTube TV is a thing now,
and it truly changes the game because you could get all your main streaming, you know, ABC, NBC, your your major networks, but you also could get live sports and other, like, you know, they've also on like on demand services now too. It's crazy.
I admit I was very resistant to streaming simply because initially, as everybody was switching to streaming, not every channel was available on streaming. Like, you really had to, like, be careful what service you chose because you were only going to get so many channels. Remember, Fubo initially was only a sports offering and didn't have local channels. Now they're more of a mainstream offering. And, you know, I'm trying to think of some other ones right off the bat. There were some streaming services that didn't even carry local channels, depending on where you live. So
one of the things that we've experienced down in Florida, and we're going to have to wrap this up quickly, but one of the things we've experienced in Florida, we have WOW TV for our cable company. Over the last year, WOW has been saying, okay, we really don't want to keep supplying this stuff, so we want to segue you guys over to YouTube TV, which you will be able to get through the WOW portal. So it's...
Yes.
But you know what? We need to shut up and start talking because I'm seeing the blue light is starting to flicker, and I think I'm hearing a Zamboni in the background.
Yes.
And that means we're getting dangerously close to our last caller. So if you would like to be our last call at 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200. And remember, to be our last call of the night, feel no pressure. You're just like the cherry on top of the show. You're the icing on the cake. You don't have to have anything that's like, you know, scintillating to talk about.
Or pithy.
That's pithy with a T-H, not an S-S.
Mm-hmm.
We have prizes. If you haven't won anything in the past 60 days or two months,
whichever comes first.
That's right.
If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. And we'll see. We'll arbitrarily pick a number.
Yes.
But the lines are open right now. 312-981-7200 if you want to be our last caller and win some goodies from this here prize list.
We just want a kind of a rundown of your weekend, anything that we might have touched on tonight that piqued your interest.
Or if it didn't pique your interest, lie.
By the way, we got a couple of people that work at Best Buy, and they're like, stop it. People are coming in asking for antennas. I'm tired of selling antennas. Maybe they're on commission and an antenna costs $20 and they'd rather sell you a television. I don't know.
That is TikTok's doing.
Yes. Sorry, guys. All right, 312-981-7200, and we will have a last call and wrap this up right here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
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 Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope. Can't stay.
You can't hear the rest of that song either.
But if you would like to dig it up online, it's the closing song by Red Peters. And if you find it online, you will find why we will never play all of the rest of that song, unless it's our last day, not only at this radio station, but in broadcasting ever.
If you hear the whole song playing, we've either dropped dead behind the microphone or else we're out of here.
Yes. So.
Even though we're in what's called safe harbor.
So we could technically play.
But not. But
I mean, we love it.
Yes. So, but not.
And sometimes we have to get Red Peters on
the
show.
We sure do.
And he's...
Because I know
he has to be wondering every week.
Every Monday he goes to his site and he goes, wow, this is so weird. I got all these hits on this song. Mm-hmm. He has no idea that it's being played every Saturday night here. But before we run out of time, it's last caller. The icing on the cake. The cherry on top of our shortened show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we are literally going to go with... Number one.
Okay.
Number one.
And number one is, I believe it's...
Are you William or Bill?
Billy Bob.
Billy Bob.
And where are you calling from, Billy Bob?
From Bourbon A.
Billy Bob from Bourbon...
So 3B, Billy Bob from Bourbon A.
You got her.
Boy, well, oh boy.
CD, turn on the radio. I finally got on. I've been trying to get on this show since 2006.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to win that weather balloon there that you guys give away.
Okay. Well.
Who are you hollering at, Billy Bob?
Seedy. That's my wife.
Oh.
Seedie.
Seedy.
What are you kids doing up at this hour? Just listening to the radio? Having a good time
I'm usually, yeah.
Yeah.
I got this diabetes and... you get the heebie-jeebies in your legs, you know.
I do know what you're talking about. Yes.
Hey, before we go any further,
yes,
I'm going to say this quick and get over. Remember Fran from Barrel, Alaska?
Of course.
Sir.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, we talked about her a couple weeks ago.
They had on Johnny Carson, the best of Carson.
Yes. Yes.
Did you ever see her being interviewed?
Yes.
Yes, in fact.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that in case you wanted to look it up.
Well, for anybody who doesn't know, Fran Tate was a dear friend. In fact, you can go to our blog and you can read some of the things we wrote about her. She was the only guest that Johnny Carson ever had on where he canceled all of the rest of his guests. She was just a wonderful,
wonderful
lady.
Yeah. Yep. And sadly, we lost her a couple of years ago.
Yeah, she was a very special person.
Ask what I do?
Well, yes, what do you do?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Wait. Wait, Billy Bob. Wait. Hold your thought.
Wait, Billy Bob.
Hold on.
Billy Bob, what do you do?
I don't do nothing now, but I used to be the sole owner and operator of M&M Incorporated out of Dwight, Illinois. That's 30 miles west of Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
And what did M&M do?
That's the initials M&M.
Yeah.
Well.
And what did they do? What did you do?
Well, that was the name of the corporation.
I know, but did you make M&Ms or what?
Did you make the letter M or what?
That stood for mostly management.
Oh, okay.
So you mostly managed, and what did you do the time when you weren't managing?
When I did work, I sprayed cockroaches.
Oh, okay. I like that M&M. Immediately,
because you knew how to have a good time.
Yeah.
I immediately thought of M&M the candy.
Termites, not the dry wood ones, just the subterranean ones we got around here up north.
What?
Now, the subterranean termites were one of my favorite groups.
That'd be a good name for a group. Anyway, I've been trying since 2006 to get to win that radio. That's
bless your heart. Oh,
and
my
I
goodness.
Had to keep going up and going to the bathroom so I couldn't sleep at night, and that's when I started listening to you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what tickles me, Billy Bob? The fact that you are going to get an official WGN T-shirt. And I'm going to be thrilled knowing you're walking around Bourbonnais wearing our T-shirt.
I ain't going to get the weather balloon?
Yes, you are. You're getting a weather balloon,
yes.
Too.
T-shirt, the bull butter with that, because you probably ain't got no triple X's anyway.
Oh, well, I think we have Big Boy for Billy Bob. So you hang on for a second. It's been a pleasure meeting you. I'm sorry you've had to wait this long. And it's not technically a weather balloon. It's a weather station.
Yeah.
A desktop weather station from our friends at American Weather Makers. And it has become quite the collectible. I can understand why you've been trying all these years to get your hands on one. But you're also going to get a WGN T-shirt, and thank you for listening. Billy Bob from Bourbonnais.
3B.
I love alliteration. Mm-hmm. I do.
Oh. Well,
that wore me out.
This show has gone by much too fast.
Real quick, a listener to 847 area code said, I made your meatloaf recipe. It was wonderful. What are you going to have when you get home tonight? What are we going to have when we get home?
I don't know. What
tonight?
Are we going to have?
I don't know. We've got no leftovers in the fridge. The hamburger?
Maybe
hamburger. Maybe grilled cheese and tomato soup?
Yeah, could happen. Yeah.
Maybe some peanut butter toast? Maybe. Ooh. Yeah, see? Got a reaction.
See, peanut butter often trumps a whole lot of things. Michael, what are you going to have when you go home?
So this is one of my odd combos, but it's one of my favorite late night things you could do. Take instant ramen, you know, like whatever, yeah. Your chicken or beef, whatever you like, and you put a little bit of peanut butter in there. A little bit of peanut butter and a little bit of sriracha if you like some spice.
I do.
Okay.
And it makes it this creamy kind of like potato or peanut saute kind of
like a Thai.
Noodle. And it you know, it makes your, you know, dollar noodles into like a full meal. And
But sadly, gluten-free ramen costs $3. Seriously. Because I bought it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought this was like the dollar stuff. So I feel sorry for gluten-free kids in college.
And Michael, you may not realize it, but...
You are.
You have been working with the Midwest Peanut Butter Poobah, as proclaimed by the Peanut Butter Association of America many, many years ago. On a Sunday afternoon, we had them in here. I think it was some of the people from Jiffy or something like that. And when they found out that one of my all-time favorite snacks is what I call Cajun rye bread toast, which is rye bread toast, burn it, slather it with peanut butter, and I'm a happy camper. And when they found that out, they proclaimed me, and I have the scroll someplace.
Yes.
I am the official Midwest Peanut Butter Poobah.
Yes,
what defines a poobah?
You're looking at it.
Yep. That's...
That's it.
There
and can
you go.
I just say, kids, do not burn your rye bread toast because the person sitting across from you is looking at a person that looks like they're sucking on a charcoal briquette. It's not pretty. It is not pretty.
What, charcoal briquettes with peanut butter? That works.
No. We got to get out of here. And peanut butter is what's on the menu tonight. You've done it.
You're right. This has been fun. Thank you for listening. Michael, thank you. Bob, thank you.
Gabe
and
Ron.
And Ron.
And all the ships at sea.
All the ships at sea. And we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.